Paul wrote to another church in Colossians. Just read this scripture. The context then, of course, Roman Empire, there were slaves and so on. It's a bit different than slavery in the British Empire, but it still wasn't exactly freedom. And he writes this, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord." You ever met anyone like that in the workplace who they really do things to impress the boss, but they're only doing it when the boss is around? You know, they say the right things when the boss is around. You know, but here's Paul saying, we do it all the time. Why? Because it's the Lord Christ you are serving. Without meaning to sound too trivial or tacky, if you're an ICT consultant today, you do not work for the company you've been seconded to. If you're a follower of Jesus, you work for Jesus Christ. If you're a school teacher, you don't work for the Stichting that oversees that school. You work for Jesus Christ. If you work in the LOM, say, as a nurse or a doctor, or the Diaconate House or Rylands or wherever, you don't ultimately work for that health authority. You work for Jesus Christ. It's not just vicars and pastors who work for God, even though that's what the Blasting Deeds officially says I do. All right? It's all of us. We're all called to serve Him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Not for people, since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. Colossians 3, 23 through to 24. So who determines your identity? The boss? Your colleagues? Other parents at the gate? Other students? What they say they're going to do in the future? What is it that determines our identity? You may remember this from a little while ago. Just flip through it. I touched on this a few weeks ago. We were talking about growing. And this cycle of fear. It could be a cycle of guilt or whatever. And we get caught up in this wrong system. You know, we start from trying a place of achievement. I've got to achieve, and that's going to give me identity. And there's all this drivenness about us. And somehow, maybe we'll get to a place of acceptance. And of course, it's so fragile, and so we go round again and round again. And Christ doesn't want us to live like this. And thankfully, Daniel and co, they didn't live like this. They could have so easily gone, hold on, we've got to keep Ashpenaz happy, we've got to keep the king happy, we're here in captivity. If we step out of line, well, we could end up just in the mines or maybe even killed. We better achieve, we better get our identity from that, and we better do as I said. They didn't fall into that trap. You remember this next slide as well, which we touched on. Just want to refer to it briefly and bring it into the context of work. That actually Christ in His grace calls us to start from a place of acceptance. We don't seek to gain acceptance. That we need to know what our identity is. Daniel, God is my judge. That was Daniel's identity. It doesn't matter what label someone put on him. It doesn't matter how many times he was called Belshazzar. It didn't change what his true identity was. Daniel, God is my judge. We need to sustain ourselves in Christ. And that's a challenge. And maybe that's a good thing to talk to each other about. Say, how do you keep a healthy walk with God in your workplace? Maybe we'll touch on that in coming weeks. But good to talk to each other. And it's from there that we get our identity. And from having a place of good identity, we can go and serve. We can seek to achieve. If you like, we can put workplace at number 4, if you like. I really believe the Lord wants to give us a fresh vision of work and actually that He's placed us where we are at this time. Doesn't mean you've got to be there forever. There are seasons. But maybe at the moment, some of us need to re-embrace where we are working. Back to the passage as we are moving towards a conclusion for today. Verse 8. Just put up here, we need to know where we need to take a stand. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. This food, this wine, probably had been offered to idols. It was completely caught up with occult activity. And here Daniel and the others, as followers of Jehovah, they know this is the line that we've got to draw. You know, and as Christians, in the world, we're called to be salt and to be light, and we need to have wisdom and discernment of where we need to take a stand. And these guys had that. They were being brought up to learn the literature of the Babylonians. That means they were being taught occult material. Now, that's not an advocate that we should all go and learn occult material. But the point is, they had discernment of where they should take a stand. Question I want to throw out, are you taking a stand over the right things in your work situation? Sometimes Christians, I think, take stand over the wrong things. The good things, that their principles are right and wrong, but maybe the Holy Spirit's wisdom is actually take a stand over something else. And we see that happening here in this situation. It says, God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. Do you believe that the Lord can move in your workplace to actually move on other people's hearts so that there is favor and sympathy towards what the Lord is going to call you to take a stand over? Because that's what happened here. The official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my Lord the King, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. It may be that you felt a stirring in your work situation about a particular aspect of work or something that's going on. Or maybe, I mean, I hope not in your work situation, or maybe there's something that's unethical. You feel morally it's just not right. And you feel stirred, you've got to take a stand. Well, how about actually saying, Lord, give me the wisdom how to do this. Give me an alternative. That's the interesting situation here. You know, the king ordered Ashpenaz to get these guys ready, and they had to have all the food, all the meat, all the wine, and so on, so they looked a certain way. Daniel didn't just say, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, test us in this, but here's an alternative. We're going to do this an alternative way. I'm going to do it for 10 days. And then after that, let's see how it goes. And maybe for some of us here, we need to take that an application, read that scripture through and say, Lord, what are you saying about my work situation? Because actually, he wants to give you some creativity. Because if he's placed you there for these 70,000 years, it probably feels like 70,000 years sometimes, 70,000 hours, don't you believe if God calls us to peace, which is shalom, which means wholeness, that actually he wants to speak into your situation? And actually wants to give you creativity. And actually wants to give you answers for your work situation. And not just how can you tell someone directly about Jesus. But maybe he gives you an ICT solution. Maybe he gives you a better solution for how that particular policy in the school can be implemented. Or how that financial situation can be sorted out. I don't know what it is. But actually he can give you that creativity. And he can also give you the wisdom how to know how to take a stand, and when to take it. And I can't tell you that. You've got to get that from God. And maybe it's good to talk to some others and just, I don't know, sometimes it's difficult because maybe it's a confidential situation with your work. But maybe give as much detail as you can with some people you can trust without breaking confidentiality clauses. Just say, would you pray with me through this? Would you stand with me through this? And actually start to believe God to make a difference in our work situations. Now, taking a stand may cost you. You know, for them, it cost them. They went without the meat. They went without the wine. Not just for 10 days, but for 3 years. They carried on making this sacrifice. If you want to grow in God, if you want to be a person of influence, it's going to cost you something. If you want to make a difference in this world, it's going to cost you something. To get what you've never had, you're going to have to do what you've never done. Business as usual isn't going to bring it. We've got to be people who are willing to step up to the mark. Thank God that Christ was willing to pay a cost to make a difference. He was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to pay that price for people like you and me. And as we shall see in the later stories, it potentially cost You know, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, their lives when he was stuck into a fiery furnace. It potentially cost Daniel his life, even though he was effectively the prime minister by then, when he was slung into a den of lions. They didn't know they were going to get out alive. And I can't promise you, if you take a stand for the Lord in your work situation, and you do it with wisdom, and you do it with tact, and you do it with sensitivity, that it will work out okay. But I tell you something, your integrity will be intact. Your conscience will be right. And God, who is faithful, he will provide another place for you. So if fear says, but if I do this, I might lose my job. Yep. Andy, that's a pretty tough word to bring, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It is. But are we willing to take that stand? Or are we going to just sear our conscience? We're just going to go, oh, it's not really that important. And actually, the Lord calls us, will you trust me? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That includes work. That includes study. He really wants us to get hold of that kind of thing. Start to be people of faith. You see, I don't know about you. You read books about people who live by faith. If you're a Christian, you are called to live by faith. It doesn't mean you've necessarily got to give all your money away. Maybe some of you need to give a bit more money away. I don't know. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? But we're all called to live by faith. And then the last slide, at least I think it is. Yes, it is. Just reading on a bit more in this story. So they test them out, and it says here, verse 15, at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. So 3 years of carrots, broccoli, sprouts, vitloaf. Oh, Lord help them. So these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found no one equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These guys that Ashpenaz had sought to label stood out in their identity of who they were in God. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. So for every single day of the test, they were that many times wiser than everyone else. If the Lord calls you to take a stand, he will honor that. He will. I can't promise it will be exactly like this, as if it's always mathematical. You know, we're not into this here, you know. Sow 10 euros and you'll get 100 euros back. It doesn't necessarily work like that. But God is faithful. You can't outgive him. You can't outgive him. And he will walk with you. And I just think it's fantastic what happened here. And the last point today in relation to our work is, will we be people who will step out in faith and expect to grow? We expect to grow. Jesus talked about us as his disciples, that one of the things that will be to this Father's glory is that we are fruitful. That we are fruitful. And that doesn't just mean that we get to witness to other people about our faith, and that others come to know Jesus. And yes, may we see more people coming to know that relationship with God. Because knowing Jesus Christ is fantastic. It's fantastic to be part of God's family. But he wants you to be fruitful. He wants me to be fruitful. In a year's time, he wants you to look back and see that you have grown. He wants you to grow. But to grow, you're going to have to step out in faith. You're going to have to know where to take a stand. And for some of you at the moment, those who I've been talking to individually, you know I'm not having a go at you or talking with you specifically. But some of you at the moment, you're facing decisions about careers. And actually, the Lord wants you to step out in faith. And in some cases, it's to step out and to move into something new. because that's how you're going to grow. But for some of you, it's to stay in what you're doing, even if that thing disappears, and actually allow him to provide something new. It's a bit like Job was sharing earlier, you know, getting on and doing a lot of the activity for Moore's Festival. And quite rightly, because the Holy Spirit wasn't going to book things. They had to do that themselves. But they had to give space for God. And some of us, we're trying to so sort it all out. We've got it all like this. Our career, the relationship, or whatever it is. And actually wants us to let go. And to step out in faith and grow. Will it be scary at moments? Yes. Will there be moments where maybe you think, what on earth have we done? Yes. Welcome to the walk. Helen and I have had plenty of moments of that since 5 years ago moving here. Of God, what have we done? And we love you. It's nothing to do with you personally. What have we done? Because if you step out in faith, it's going to be scary. But guess what? You're going to grow. And I would rather be scared and growing than in a comfort zone and brain dead. Kicking daisies, waiting till Jesus comes back or I die. You know? What about you? Do you want to be part of the walking dead or part of someone who's growing? I know what God's heart is for you. He wants you to grow. So I want to encourage us, even this coming week, reread Daniel 1. And just think about the stand that these guys took. And what's he saying to you? What's he saying to me about our work situations? And how are we going to grow? Are we going to believe him for such growth? Will we surrender our careers, our studies, our homekeeping to the Lord and see where he will lead? For those of you... And very often, more often than not because it has to be this way, but the way it happens, some of you women particularly, you've given up a career at this present time because you are being the homemaker. In some cases, the guys, you're doing the same. God honors that. Sure, some of society doesn't, runs it down. And maybe you're thinking, oh, how many more diapers have I got to change? How many more times have I got to play Thomas the Tank Engine? Or whatever it is. And you feel like it makes no difference. It does. The fact that you are providing a stable home for those kids, that you're seeking to bring them up in the ways of God, makes an incredible difference. And is there sacrifice? Yes. And is it often forgotten? Yes. But God, your Father in heaven, doesn't miss a single moment. And it's just as spiritual as when you're reading your Bible. It's just as spiritual when you're praying, when you're down on the floor doing Lego bricks or whatever it is. And he sees that. And sometimes it's painful, isn't it? Because you'd like to be getting on with a career still. You'd like to have some adult conversation that goes beyond the Teletubbies. Or whatever it is. Except in Dirk's case, because he likes the Teletubbies. And I suppose just in closing day, with it being Mother's Day, I particularly want to say that I think there is a big trumpet to be blown in eternity. It says, yo, mums. Because that is the work where God has placed you at the moment. You may not be able to be on LinkedIn and go, profile, what's your job title? Lego designer, or whatever. And maybe you can't do so much linking, but God hasn't forgotten. And some of it's a season. You say, well, but oh, in 10 years' time, it'll all be gone. Trust God. He can still open up the doors for you. It's not wasted. It's not wasted. Husbands, maybe you need to have a little bit more consideration too. Maybe we need to look at our lives and our jobs and what we're doing so maybe we can free up our wives so they can do something too. So we can be just as spiritual and change the diapers. I'm really glad my kids are older now. But, hey, let's pray together as we finish. And I'll hand back to your room. We've got one last thing we want to do in just a moment. But I just want to read a prayer as a close. which was written by a bishop back at the end of the 19th century. So I just want to read this and then I'll pray in normal English. Almighty God, we thank thee for the job of this coming day. May we find gladness in all its toil and difficulty, its pleasure and success, and even in its failure and sorrow. We would look always away from ourselves and behold the glory and the need of the world, that we may have the will and the strength to bring the gift of gladness to others, that with them we stand to bear the burden and heat of the day and offer thee the praise of work well done. Amen. Lord, may we be people who offer you the praise of work well done. Lord, whatever it is we're called to in our life season at the moment. Lord, whether we're students, Lord, and we're learning and we're preparing for the future. Lord, whether we are a homemaker at this time, maybe we've put seemingly a career on its side, or on the back burner. Lord, whether we're in a job, whether we're in a job we're thriving in or a job we feel we're stuck in. Lord, for some of us, where we're unemployed and we need a new job. Whatever the situation is, Lord, may we be people who believe that we may or may not be exactly where we want to be, but there is gifting and there is calling from you on our lives. Lord God, may we be people who know what our true identity is and to work through the challenges of how we live that out in our work situations, our neighborhoods, our study places. Lord, may we have wisdom to know where to take a stand and where to be silent. And may we be people who step out in faith and grow. God, I want to ask here that you just release fresh growth in each person's life here. God, please help us. Lord, any of my words today which have not been helpful, God, may we quickly forget them. But Lord, if there's anything that's been helpful, Lord, I ask that you would enable us to live it out for your honor and for your glory, Jesus. Amen.